Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is February 27th. We're almost 2 months done. I can't believe it. Thank you for joining us. Today we have our guest is Brian Porter, who has an online television show called MakingADifference.TV. So, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much, Lonnie.
We're actually kind of doing a little bit of an experiment. I'm recording this so on the video, so maybe we'll be able to get a video capture of this conversation.
Oh, great. Okay. So. No, I was just going to say greetings from Canada, Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada. Well, you guys have at least a semblance of rationality in your country left, I guess, huh? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's a mix of... I think the average Canadian is a decent person. The problem is that we're living in a matrix. The foundation is broken and nobody sees it.
Well, and I think lots of people see it, but there's like no, there are people that want to fix it. They're just like stopping us. We're seeing the fix and the broken thing, but you know, there's a lot of hands in front of us. So, I mean, yeah. The reason I asked you to join me today is I want to, you know, this whole idea about alternative media or getting the word out, or it's actually kind of like the people's voice. That's how I view this, is like my venue now has sort of transformed into 5 days a week where I interview people quite regularly, almost every single day, right? There's activists out there like so much like you. What prompted you to create your venue? Why did you do this?
Well, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, ever since my university years, almost 40 years now. I've been an activist. I got very focused on the military-industrial complex, the peace movement, in my when I was doing my master's thesis. Actually, I wrote it on disarmament and why it was good for the economy to get out of the military-industrial complex. That was my thesis. I did an action research project. I approached all the major unions, about 50 members of parliament, would be the equivalent of Congress down there, and the student movement. The they have like conferences and whatnot. I lobbied them. It was like a 2-year full on project. What happened was interesting, because nobody disagreed with what I was saying. The problem is that the same problem we have now is still in existence, is that people are stuck. They don't know how to get out of the money god system we created, which basically says first we serve the money god, and then we serve ourselves. and that's a problem, because this money god system that we created, some people call it capitalism, some people call it socialism, some people call it communism. It's an unnatural system, and because we are nature, we can't fix this system. within the system we've got now. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And that's one of the reasons I started my first show, which was called I Am Nature. I did that for 2 years on Revolution Radio, fairly big alternative network. And then I was shocked that I couldn't find a lot of followers because I was just actually asking people to do something, to actually put theory into practice. And this is the big, see, this is the big barrier we're still stuck up against, theory into practice. How do we change this system and make it practical, the change? So on Making a Difference TV, it's not just me, it's actually I'm bringing together the top activists on planet Earth. You're on my network because I
Oh,
consider
good.
one of the
Thank
top
you.
activists, because you're actually doing something. You're actually creating change. You're creating conferences. You're mobilizing. You're raising money. This is
I
fantastic.
actually compost too.
Well, you
And
know,
I use alternative, like I don't, I'm in my own personal life, I do make an effort to do a lot of things that are outside of the norm. Like, for example, I use coconut oil and turmeric for practically everything. like if you want a good remedy for any cuts and bruises, use turmeric and coconut oil, or like boom, or honey, put honey on anything. I mean, there's a bunch of things that we can do. Taking it back, we don't need to rely on these systems of mass destruction.
well, I mean, that's one of my major solutions. First of all, so I've got all these top activists. You're one of them. I've got this incredible guy named Yogi Ramesh Pandey. I cannot miss him. I've done like 10 interviews with him. He basically is a heart cleanser, a reinvigorator. He keeps us going. He keeps us positive because there's a lot of activists who burn out. So I'm there for my fellow activists
Yeah.
too. I want them to stay positive. I want them to keep moving forward and continuing to try to work together. So I've got a lot of great shows. It's not a live network yet. I'm just building up my platform of guests, and then we're going to go live once I have enough
Okay,
people
great.
committed.
Great. Well, that is one of the things about staying positive. I consider myself a very positive person, and in fact, I actually believe that facing the Fukushima change in our entire planet, the fact that we have been fundamentally changed since the Fukushima accident, facing it is an act of love. That's how I feel about it. Like, because we can't fix what you don't acknowledge, right? We have to be able to face it. And what we've had for 70 years is really alternative facts. And when they came up with this phrase in the Trump administration, it clicked like a lightning bolt in my brain. This is the reason that we have this neoliberal agenda, this whole question about what's true, what's not true, the alternative, the fake, all these different words. That's exactly what we've been buying since the beginning of the last century. The whole meme of the lie that the industrialization for the planet is a good thing. I mean, we basically just ripped open Mother Earth and just plowed through. And as willing slaves, we just keep jumping right in. It's amazing. And you're right, it's hard to make that change from getting off of the treadmill to figuring out how to do something that functions for the whole,
Yeah, I mean, one of my main themes on my set, I've done a few really sort of core. See, my view is this, Lonnie, is that we actually have everything we need right now. We always have. The solutions, I must admit, the nuclear issue is a toughie because it kind of needs some sophisticated science to fix it. But other than that one, most of the issues are let's just stop doing it. Let's just stop using GMO food. Let's just stop putting chemicals in the soil. Let's just stop geoengineering. Let's just stop, right? Most of the solutions are very simple. This is the trickiest one, I think, the one you're into. But we all have to still work together. This is
You know
my
what, Brian, though? I have to say, just stopping the GMO, just stopping the chemicals, it's exactly like just stopping the nuclear, because the GMOs and the chemicals are leaving just as devastating of a footprint. I mean, I had a very long conversation with a health physicist out in St. Louis. I wanted him to be a guest on my radio show, and he refused. No wonder, because health, I didn't know it at the time, but health physicists are part of the nuclear industry. I didn't know that at the time. It's how new I am to this whole program, right? But he was very kind to me and spoke with me for like quite a long time. And we went back over several days, and he helped me understand that chemical, in his view, chemical pollution is a far greater toxic threat to the human species right now on our planet. That it is an immediate, more of an immediate danger because the toxic chemicals cause many of the things that we whine about and complain about the nuclear industry, but they happen more immediately. Like the cancers more immediately. The present, it doesn't go in generations. The difference is, this is where we ended the conversation. The difference is the generational effects. It doesn't affect your DNA, except GMOs do. I
Yeah,
mean, it's.
I mean, we created such a toxic soup of different, types of problems. I mean, we've got energetic toxins, we've got a lot of physical toxins. What I'm saying is that if we learn how to farm properly again, using natural methods, and there's quite a few, a range of natural methods. That's something else I'm going to explore. I found a really cool guy who lives not far from me in Montreal, and he's got a permaculture garden right in his backyard. He lives in a housing complex. So, I mean, there's lots of ways of getting back to the mother, right? But my point is this, is that if we just leave Fukushima alone, it could take down the whole planet. I mean, I'm a little bit open to debate on that, but it's definitely doing a huge amount of damage, and we got to stop it. There's just no, in my mind, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We got to stop this thing. But we can get back to nature in other areas like farming. We can stop. If we have to stop flying, or we stop this, put clean fuels in our jets, or create electric jets. I mean, we can do this stuff, right? But the problem with nuclear is like Hanford and all the dumps and all the there's toxins that depleted uranium, 4.5 billion year half-life. These things are here forever now. Because the projected life of the planet is 4.5 billion years based upon the life of the sun, right? We're not going to live here if there's no sun and nothing will work right. So the issue with nuclear is it is the toughest one to fix. That's the point I'm making. And I'm not denying, and this is what I find frustrating with a lot of people in their beautiful movements that are doing good stuff, is they don't seem to want to work together and create a united front. They want to say, oh, our issue is the worst. Our issue is the worst. Oh, no, it's GMO. Oh, no, it's the fact that we're deforesting everything. Oh, no, it's the fact that there's a pipeline here.
I'm so with you on that.
The real solution is to say, hey, they're all bad. Why are we fighting over which one? Because everybody wants to be the number one spokesperson or get the scarce resources to do things. So we fight with each other. And this is wrong. This is against the concept of family. And that basically the model for us as a pack animal is family, working with family, creating community. This is the model for everything. So if a family of activists can't learn to work together and mutually support each other in whatever they're concerned about, I'm concerned about everything, not just a few issues. I got them all worked out. I got them all. I put out a very short video called Healthy and Abundant Planet on my site. You got to check it out. I list all the issues. I have 13 issues, and I say this is the solution too after I enumerate them all. So I've got a grand plan, a huge grand plan to fix everything. So this is because I've been around a long time. I've seen all the things that people are doing, and I continually stay positive with my activists. I don't get mad at them because they're inclusive, but I just keep pushing them and encouraging them to look and see, hey, I mean, this system we're fighting is at least 6,000 years old. It's come along a long way. The slavers came here, wherever they came from, who knows? But we've got a slaver system, and it's got many facets that create an illusion.
I had a guest on, her name is Jill Wheaton. She said that it goes back 12,000 years. She's an anthropologist. She did her thesis on this, and she
That's
said that
cool.
it's gone back like to 12,000 years. But you're right, it is a slave mentality. And it's also that same thing that has been, when you're talking about spiritual toxins, that was an interesting phrase that you said. We have a lot of, I think that's what gets to the activists. Like, that's what keeps us separated. I have personally been the target of several attacks in the last month that really stunned me to the point where I thought, well, maybe what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Like, what's the point of me gathering these people together? I mean, UCY is a burgeoning radio station. It's hard enough to tell people to find an internet radio station, right? So we have a small little radio station that is finding its way in this big maze of haze. And I'm bringing together all these people who really have a great voice, who do want to get together and do want to. But even inside that maze of people, there's still a network, there's still the mentality of, I need to do my own thing. Because they don't want to be identified with the wrong person, or they want to be able to get the same funds, because it all comes back to the money god, you know. Part of the reason that, like, we don't have people on, like, from Greenpeace, for example, or 350.org, is they really don't even acknowledge us. Like, they're in that capitalistic mentality of it's about them gathering funds for their organization because. As one of them said to me, you know, if you don't have money, you can't actually make your actions work, which I don't think I agree with that idea, but you know, there is that general theme of idea about you have to have money as a base to be able to even get off the ground anymore. So everyone wants their own. That's part of why there's a lot of hostility among, like, the YouTube community, the activists there, because they all survive on contributions, right? So they, you know, implore people that are listening to them to send them a few beans, and there's really only so many beans to be had, right? So everyone wants their own. For me, it's not about if I don't think we need money. I think we need voices and people. Calling up our ele I still believe if we call up our elected officials that we can get the changes that we need. We don't have to just fold into, oh, this system is so, because when a system collapses, it doesn't just like disappear. Something rises out of the rubble. You know what I mean? There's some strand of something left so that people can create something. And it's a matter of, are we going to control what gets recreated? Because I think that the system has collapsed. It's been collapsed since the early 2000s. And this is all just like this huge alternative facts, as Mr. Trump says. You know, these are all just like they don't know who. I think even though the White House is completely gaslit, they have no idea what the heck they're doing. Like, they know they want to destroy the internal instruments of government. Like, they're going to take apart all of our major institutions so that they can say, see, we didn't need these people. Roll out the military police and enforce their law like they did in Chile. So, but let me ask you this in terms of the spiritual toxins. I mean, in your experience, if you've been doing this a long time, because I'm relatively new, how do we overcome this? I mean, what's a good solution to the separatism among the activists? How do we break through that?
Well, first of all, we have to realize where is the center of energy in our body? It's our heart. Our heart is the only organ that can pump nonstop. It is the center, I believe, of God, of a love, of a loving universe, of a loving creator. So you stay in your heart. The mind, we need the mind. Unfortunately, we use the mind way more than we should, but because we're under attack all the time, we need the mind to protect us, to see solutions. But ideally, we live in our heart all the time, but we can't right now. We're living in a very messed up place. So you stay in the heart as much as you can. Yogi Ramesh Pandey is an expert on how to live in the heart. He does it all the time. He's like a beacon. He's kind of like the sun of love. So I recommend. And he doesn't promote one spiritual perspective. He just teaches people how to live in their heart, how to do pranayama, how to eat properly, you know, how to exercise, how to stay positive. So he can help us. There's also other things, like you said, some of the natural remedies you talked about. There's hemp oil is amazing. I had a
Sure.
guy from Canada, Canadian. He developed a strain of hemp oil. He shows you how to do it. Online, free of charge. Everything is free of charge, all open source. He eventually left Canada because he couldn't get the medical establishment here to approve his oil. So he's gone over, and now he lives in Bosnia, believe it or not. But he proved, and he went. They took him to court like three or four times, and he said, "No, look, all the people he cured for free. Again, he didn't charge them a cent. He just gave them. He first he healed himself, and then he healed other people. So." One of the things I'm doing, I'm making a difference, is I'm bringing together again, people that actually can get stuff done, people who have proven records of accomplishment, whether it's healing, whether it's art activism, whether it's whatever, inspiring people, this is all part of the puzzle. We have to create a music industry that promotes real environmentalism. None of this phony stuff like, oh, well, CO2 is killing us, all that crap. I mean, there's nothing further from the truth. So this is the kind of stuff we have to do, and this is what I'm doing. I'm pure quality now. I don't care how long it takes. I know what counts is pure quality and as close as we can get to the truth. That's the key. And just keep going at it. Just keep it going, keep it working. Because everything I'm saying makes sense to activism, but there's blockages. There's things that want them to be whatever, Top Gun. I'd love to see the whole alternative community condense into like 10 stations and people just whatever through a process of a democracy or who knows, pulling freaking lots or whatever, decide who's going to be the spokesperson. Everybody else be the head researchers. Do the researchers and send them the information. Help them, because this is the key. You and I are probably spending a lot of time doing research. I should have three assistants helping me in
Right,
training.
right.
And you see, this is what, so we're not doing things efficiently. What the dark side is, they're the ideal model. I mean, they're so good at putting their agenda out there, it's not funny. And we have to beat them at their own game. We have to create the powerful networks. Making a difference is hopefully going to be that network. If it's not, hopefully someone else will come along. Unfortunately, it's not going to be Alex Jones, folks. I wrote an article on my Facebook page. Alex Jones is a fraud, in my opinion.
That's yeah. I think that's pretty well accepted that he's I guess what they call COINTELPRO, right? Like
I
he's
mean, but people think he's radical. I mean, a majority of people that I talk to that are, waking up say, oh no, Alex Jones is the, and a lot of people in our spheres love Alex Jones. So, yeah, I mean,
I have to say, when I first began, I listened to Alex Jones, but so much of what he said was just hate. Hate machine. I mean, and a lot of the stuff he spews out, like he goes on about abortion clinics and, just the things he says is just malicious lies about things. He maliciously lies. And that made me begin to think that this guy is actually paid to pretend like he's an alternative. That's what I think. I think he's paid to pretend to be alt. I mean, for goodness sakes, didn't they say that Donald Trump listens to Alex Jones? That's enough. Just that enough. That's enough. I mean, that whole fake thing he got into the, what was that? The something Grove. Remember, he went into that secret society. Somehow he sneaked in. When that happened, I'm like, this guy is such a faker because they don't let people into those secret society things. You're not getting in. There's no sneaking in. And if you did get sneaked in, you'd get your camera taken and beaten up. You know what I mean? And a good lesson learned, So. But I mean, this is why I decided just see my method of managing this is I just ignore the noise and continue doing what I know is the right thing and continue to like buoy myself up and buoy myself up with the positive thinkers and people that are actually like in love with life instead of like feeling like life is all over with and it's horrible. No, there's lots of life to be had that's still fun. You know what I mean? Like the dark side, that is exactly a good phrase for it, the dark side, because they do want us separated from each other because our model is family. Our human species, we naturally connect to each other. We want to connect. I mean, for goodness sakes, a baby dies if it's not held. I mean, we have a whole group of children from Romania who are forever mentally and emotionally damaged for the rest of their lives because they were not held for the first 4 or 5 years of their lives. We've seen this experiment time and time again. This is how they use it. I mean, and I actually think that this is how they use a lot. This is why we have the opioid addiction, like all of this. It's all sort of intentionally disseminated to make us easily manipulated. We're so easily manipulated when we're isolated,
Drugs is one of the main control mechanisms. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, and again, in this field that we're in, hokey bidoki. I know I met so many people who are like getting hammered. A lot of people in alternative media are alcoholics. I mean, folks, if you can't keep your own personal life together, how the hell are you going to be clear enough in focus to do anything? Right? So I help a lot of people who are in this field, and I try to get them off their drugs, off the, you know, I don't even think it's, I know a lot of people, I love hemp, and but I don't smoke up at all. I have a beautiful connection to source, to God. I talk about three loves: love of Mother Nature, love of Father Light, which is reason. Reason guided by ethics first. Number one is ethics, folks. You can
Right, number one is ethics.
put all the
Exactly.
teleology together, figure out how everything works in the universe. But if your goal isn't to use it for the benefit of other people, it's not a good science, folks.
Right,
It's this
right.
is the problem with all these new sciences we're developing. They're killing everything. So there's no ethics in the science now, or a lot of people are lost. And then the third one is remembering that we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to stay in connection. Even if we don't agree on everything, we should still love and respect each other. This is the key missing ingredient in the activist movement, because we base our
That's
connection on
exactly right.
who we agree with. It
That's
shouldn't be
right.
based on that. It should be a mutual respect for people who are
Love.
trying to make a difference.
It's about love. You're right. It is. Love is really the answer. You're absolutely. And you know what? Actually, that's the issue too about the drug addiction, the alcoholism, and the I call it the trail of shame that people live on. They're walking down this journey of shame. I mean, I come from a family of addicts. I'm a child abuse survivor. So many of my siblings have had severe problems, alcohol and drugs. And I mean, like, heart. My little sister died at 49. As they said, she died of a heart attack. She actually was an alcoholic, and she went to alcohol to get off of drugs. That was her solution. I mean, but you know, not a horrible person, but really she lived a life, a journey of constant repetition of guilt, shame, guilt, shame, guilt, shame, and then trying to do the right thing and never really loved herself enough to go through the hard thing of you kind of have to walk through the coals to get out of that cycle. And you have to do that. That's just there's part of the reality of it all, you know?
Life is
And
suffering,
so,
Buddha.
but. Yeah, but I mean, part of that is really love. If you really focus on love, all of that physical pain becomes durable. And it actually, you begin to look forward to, like, okay, this is part of me getting back to myself. So you don't, it's not like a burden. I
See,
mean,
I have a
my family members that have recovered, it's because they were able to really find themselves and find their source.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not easy to change behavioral patterns. They become part of us, and we have to exercise them like a demon. And who knows? There could be a lot of people see. I know a lot of psychic people who are beautiful people, and they can see. I don't see the connections; I feel them. So I know when there's something. I am so tuned in now to evil and bad, and I see it in people. I feel it right away. When I'm with a yogi, I just feel vibration. I have vibrational healing all around me. I feel vibration all the time. It keeps me going strong. I don't do really anything all that spectacular. I try to drink clean water and eat fairly decent. I wish I ate everything organic, but I don't. And I seem to hang in there, you know? So the thing is, Lonnie, is that people have to realize that this is a never-ending journey. This is my spiritual. This is what
Right.
keeps me going. This is why I'm so strong and determined. This is never going to end. Until we figure out how to fix these problems on this level, they're not going to end in this life or the next life or the next life. It's going to keep going. The ones that stay on this path of self-destruction, of ecocide, of genocide, they are paving a very bad path for themselves into the future. You and I are walking a different path, a path of no reward, almost no reward other than from each other. But the general public thinks, what's wrong with you? You're not making money. Are you nuts? You know? So we're not locked into the money God control grid, right? The matrix. So, but the, and I just, with all, as Yogi says, God bless him. I mean, I try to convince people that, hey, what you're doing by cooperating with the system and just accepting all the garbage, junk science and lies, you're corrupting not just yourself, your children, but the future of your soul. This is serious business right now. This is very bad. And again, I try to be positive about it as I can, but I feel I'm saved already. You're saved. You're a beautiful soul. You're doing what you can. I mean, is there a way out of this thing for everyone? I don't know. I mean, each person has to make that, find that light
The
and
way out is
has.
through, Brian. The way out is through. That's how you get through. That's how you get out. You have to go through it. I mean, that is the issue. I mean, I have to say this too. I really think that I'm really picky about words. Anybody says I'm trying to do it, it means you're not. Like, I think, like for me, I've shaved that word out of my vocabulary completely. Because when we try to do something, it gives us a way to fail. Trying allows us to fail. So I say we are either convincing people or we're not. And frankly, I think we are convincing people. They may not be responding, but it's ticking in their head. It's like a little drop, ping, 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 ping. It's hitting their soul consciousness. They're seeing us walk in. This is what I call walking in love. You know, like we're walking in love. Hold on just one second.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
gonna my phone. I totally forgot to unplug my office line, so it's gonna ring six times. Sorry about
That's okay.
that. But this is the thing. We totally have to walk in love in order to allow ourselves to grow. And walking in love means being tolerant with other people who just aren't there yet. It doesn't mean you have to let them in your life and allow their darkness to invade your life. But you have to continue to give them love. It's like the four agreements. When I read the four agreements, that sort of tied a lot of things up for me in a good little bow because I was able to really understand why it's important to keep shaking it off. Like I've known that from the time I was a little kid, that a lot of things happening around me wasn't because of me. It was their stuff, right? It was pretty obvious when you grow up with parents that are completely crazy and violent. You begin to realize it's not you. But how do you survive it? See, we're at a point of crisis now on our planet where we really are in an ecological crisis. We really, it's not like people are going to get sick, people are getting sick. It's not like we are going to be poisoned, we are being poisoned. We live with radioactive air now. So how do we manage those concepts? Like, how do we deal with that idea? And how do we get other people to just acknowledge it so they don't continue down this path of eating seafood and fish nonstop and eating junk food and high levels of sugar in there? I mean, the one thing we do know about living in a radioactive space is that if you eat a healthy diet, which means attempt to alkaline your body, stay off of sugar, keep yourself happy, that you can actually stave off the negative effects of radioactivity and a lot of the pollutants that are out there. And a lot of people who look at us say, well, how do you do that all the time? It's just, you know, like, how do you not go? Somebody actually said to me, how do you not go through a Burger King? And I remember thinking that when I first started in alternative healing, when I first started treatment with Dr. Bob Heron, I'd bring my kids. I had very severe arthritis. I was 37 when I started the treatment. I mean, I couldn't even lift my left arm even a quarter of the way up. My arm was really immobilized. My hands were very swollen. I was just a physical wreck. And he'd give us the treatment. I went in once a week and we'd always leave. Whenever we left, the kids always wanted to go through Burger King. So we'd always go through Burger King. And he'd say to me, you know, at some point, you're going to have to like stop that, right? It took me, I didn't actually stop it for probably 4 or 5 years. I mean, I was in treatment for probably 6 years. But for two-thirds of the way through, I still, and even though the rest of my diet had cleaned up, I had done everything else, but there was that emotional trigger. Do you get what I'm saying? There was like this emotional trigger that when we went there, that was like made it feel complete. So in order for people to, this is where I feel grateful, and this is why I share my personal stories, because I feel like if I express how I've processed through it, it might help other people be kind to themselves. Because I went through two-thirds of my treatment years still clinging to that one negative habit that really. Once I gave it up, many of my other minor symptoms dissipated. The major symptoms dissipated within 2 years. My arthritis reversed. There was a lot of other things. What changed was my emotional ability to cope with life changed when I stopped eating that negative spirit. I don't know how that sounds, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that eating in those fast food places, you bring in the karma of the trauma of all the food that's been processed. Like, the food gets traumatized to be delivered to, you know, I mean, the animals get traumatized, the wheat gets traumatized, everything in that entire system. None of those plants are treated with respect. It's just a sad system, you know? And I mean, maybe it was in the middle of my head, but this is kind of where I'm at. Like, I think it's very important for us to honor our internal feelings and just, I don't know, keep your heart open and keep open and have your hands open so that somebody can put your hands in there. You know, leave your hands open to be grasped, you know? So often that was one of the things about Mike Pence. You ever look at Mike Pence on stage? Oh my gosh, his hands are always like curled up like this. He's like, arr! Tells you where he's at, man.
Yeah, let's load up the cabinet with generals. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen, folks. Give me a break. But anyways, yeah, but what you're saying is that this is when I was 30, I was the only time in my life I actually had a normal job was when I worked with the deaf and hard of hearing as a social worker for 8 years. And when I first went there, they all loved me. I mean, I had a huge caseload, and in a year they were all gone because I was responsible for finding them jobs, right? Deaf people, hard of hearing people. And then I started to do more and more work with at the political level in the organization. I used to find all sorts of problems, and then they realized, oh, gee, this guy's a problem. So in the end, I had to leave because we didn't agree on what they were doing, how they were spending their money, how they were screwing everybody financially. So, but I went to this doctor, and he said, hey, you're really stressed out right now. He says, I'm glad you're playing a lot of tennis. That's what you need. You have to bang things, you know, just. You know, you're a good person. Obviously, you're not doing anything wrong, but you're being pushed out of a corrupt organization. And it's the norm. Everything's corrupt now, in my opinion. So he said, read this book, Handbook to Higher Consciousness, written by a guy named Ken Keyes. He lives near Coos Bay, Oregon. That's where he centered his college. And it's all about how everything is addictive. Everything we learn is addictive. So you better pick something that's good because it's going to become addictive. So pick love, make love addictive. Versus
Right.
hate, versus greed, versus selfishness, versus hate hating yourself or hating your bad habits. Make love your first addiction, and then from there everything will grow. And just accept the fact that yeah, you got some pretty bad habits that it wasn't your fault. I mean, when you were a child, you were taught all this junk, right? Yogi, man, he was taught from day one the Vedic system, which I've discovered I think is the most powerful knowledge system in the world. There's no difference between science and religion in their system. It's all connected. So he got everything right from day one. So he's very advanced. So let's take advantage of his advancement. Let's use his loving aura and power to cleanse ourselves. And it's not a religious thing. It's just a matter of opening the heart and giving ourselves energy. Because in the end, it's all energy, right? It's all positive or negative or mix of two. The both. Most of us are a mix. I'm trying to get 100% positive, but some people think I'm nuts. But I think that it's attainable. I think Yogi's one way of doing it. And he sees me like a Gandhi. Brian, you're like a Gandhi. You want to change systems. I said, yeah, because systems create everything now. We've got everything connected now. We've got these monstrous systems. If we can change these monstrous systems, we can make a huge difference. And this is why I'm again, I want everything local. I want to get back to local, everything, growing our food local, heating our water local, building our homes based upon the geography. I want our kids staying at home, learning at home through the internet, through small little schools and communities. Once we start doing that, everyone's going to realize what we really are. We're a pack animal, we're a nature. And as soon as we realize we're nature, we look it around and we see all this garbage going on. We say, oh God, this is terrible. We got to get away from all this stuff. You see, this is the path. Now, maybe we disagree a little bit on solutions, but that's okay. I mean, I love everybody and I love difference. But this present situation of the large everything, like 90% of what we have now is coming from other nations by shipping, that's doing huge damage. They're using bunker fuel on these ships. 15 ships out of 90,000 are putting out as much pollution as all the cars on the planet. This incredible, fastidious nonsense about cleaning up the way move things, our cars and stuff, it's going to make no difference to the planet. Most of the damage is on the oceans. It's shipping, it's Fukushima, it's in the air. It's the big systems that are messed up. It's not you and me doing our little thing. It's the big guys. It's the guys who are completely unaccountable. These are the systems we have to get to, right? This is my philosophy. But the way to get to them is by going small is beautiful.
Well, I think that we're not going to have a choice about going small is beautiful. I think the system is collapsing in on itself. And the more we prepare to go small is beautiful, the easier the adjustment's going to be, because those people who continue to rely on grocery stores, continue to that have no concept on how to farm, how to garden, how to compost, how to make their own clothes, how to do very simple things. I mean, there's a lot of very simple things that many people have just simply given up and lost interest in because of the money god. And, you know, once, but, you know, this is where I'm not that, I guess, pessimistic, because I think that once people get it, it's like in sales. I learned this a long time ago. In sales, when you bring a new product to the market, 25% of the product gets bought, boom, within a very short period of time. 25% of the people will buy it right away. The next 25% buy it within probably double the time that the first 25 did. The third 25% take as much time as the first two. So you've got 10, 15, 20 years. The fourth 25%, they pretty much never do it. But we've got 3/4 of the people on board. So I think that as the systems collapse and people begin to see that, you know, frankly, this whole attempt to rock the boat with the United States and deconstruct our government, as they're saying, that's essentially what they're saying. They're trying to really create a junta, an open junta here, so they can just take over our country. So with them attempting to do it, it's got a lot of people waking up. And when people change their patterns of what they've been doing, we're going to see a cacophony of brand new ideas on how to reach out and how to make it happen, because people are going to be saving. I'm very optimistic. I think that we have an opportunity to demand science find solutions to the chemical pollutions that we've done in the last 150, 200 years. I think that we have the science available. We have the mentality. We have the capacity. And I'm beginning to believe that we probably don't need the infrastructure. I used to think we need the infrastructure, but, you know, again, I believe in the power of good. So I think that we're all, I don't think that it's all going to come to a crash. I mean, lots of people are going to die. That's already been planned out, but people die. You know, we're all part of this current system of, you know, we're the useless feeders. They've already determined that.
Eaters, you mean?
Yeah, but I just, I call it feeders, because really we're just like, you know, they just spoon feed us, right? We don't actually eat. They shove it in our mouths. We don't really decide, oh, I want that. They're like, no, you got to have this.
I guess. Yeah, like I say, it's a never-ending journey. Everyone came here, I think, most of us came here to try to figure out how to survive a very messed up system, because all the animals seem to know how to live here. How do humans not know? We're supposed to be one of the more advanced species. How is it that the humans can't figure it out when the birds can and the bees? And
right.
The
well,
ants
the birds wake up every day. You don't see them biting their little toes worrying about how much food they're going to get today. They wake up and go, wow, what a great day. Let's go find food. And they do.
Yeah. So it's getting back to the simple things. Community, growing your own. I really think that a lot of people have attachment disorder because and they've lost faith in their species because they weren't brought up in a community, a close-knit community. And this is what's happened. And you go on a subway and you just see nobody's connected anymore. They're all doing their own little thing. They got their headphones on. They're looking at their phone. So the community, see, we can't, large systems cannot work for our species. And this is why things have gone nuts, is because if we don't know each other, if we don't know everybody in our community, and that holds us accountable too, because when everybody knows who you are and what you're doing, wow, it's a lot harder to screw up. When you're in a huge community where nobody knows you, man, you can do a lot of stuff and get away with it. So all these communities, they all are self-reinforcing, beautiful systems. And this is the and what we're really still living is the karma of coming here and destroying 1,200 nations of people connected to the land, beautiful systems of government, clan system, local control over everything. All their ways have to be the foundation of everything we do again, or we're never going to get out of this mess. And I made a post about that yesterday. There's a lot of people in Canada, they want to start a new party. They want to push all the immigrants. They're afraid of Muslim terrorism and all this stuff. And I just said, I mean, what are we doing to these poor people in the Middle East? You know,
Right.
we just sold them $15 billion of armored vehicles. One of our companies are associated with one of your military suppliers. We sold them to Saudi Arabia. They're taking those vehicles and they're oppressing Yemen now. I mean, we're not innocent in this Canada. Canada is no sweet little nation, believe me.
Right.
We're the girlfriend of the mafia boss to the south. That's really what Canada is. And so people have to wake up and see the whole picture, right? And this is where the problem is that when I just lay it out there, and then people, oh, you know, they watch CBC, NBC. So this is the key, is that we got to create the alternative network. Hopefully my network, your network, will get out there. We'll get people watching. We have to be, you know, good at what we do. We have to prove, we have to have evidence-based system. This is the, you know, show them different sources of information, show them their own sources. I mean, the military-industrial complex, it's clear. It's dominant force. It creates all the technology, and then they sell it to Google, and they sell it to, you know, other people, and then they continue to make money on it because they started the new companies. So it's basically what we are. We are a military-industrial complex. That's what we are. That's what we, and we've
Pretty
been this
much.
a long time. Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, they pretty much took over in the last century. The world turned into a war machine in the last century. That is essentially what we've gotten. I mean, pretty much it runs every single thing. This is why it's unconscionable. This is why the United States Congress keeps funding tanks to build tanks that are outdated, that we don't need anymore, just to keep people busy. Keep them busy because we don't have the other technology. Like, we do need people to create solutions. We do need scientists. But part of the reason I think that, at least this is kind of my intuitive feeling, the reason we don't have those solutions is there's no link to money. They can't make money off of us regenerating our yards with microbes. They can't make money off of us growing our own food. And us healing ourselves. We are literally, when I said that in my intro, we're assets on a balance sheet. I really mean it. They do consider us assets on a balance sheet. Big Pharma literally has CPAs who calculate how many people are going to die from this drug, how much will we have to pay out, what percentage of people do we think are going to sue us for malpractice, and how much money can we make?
And they buy derivatives. They buy derivatives to protect themselves. Yeah,
Well, it's all going to come crashing down. This is.
it's all factored in. It's unbelievable. This money god is so complicated. It's hard for people to figure it out. But this is why I'm promoting something. I got this post yesterday from a family member. She's very supportive of what I'm doing. And there's a billionaire in India. I'm not surprised he's from India because, again, I love their system, Hinduism and all this stuff. It's a beautiful system, and they have a conscience, a lot of these people. So he made this little drink, for, you know, energy drink. It's probably like natural. I don't know. I haven't looked at it, but he made like $1 billion. And he said, "What am I going to do with all this money? I got $1 billion. I didn't expect to be so successful." He says, "I'm going to take 99% of that money, and I'm going to do good with it." And he's creating beautiful technologies, right? So, you know, I reached out to him. Hopefully, I can get him to come on Making a Difference. But he's got a movie out. I forget the name. It's on my Facebook page. Billionaire something. Billionaire. God, I can check it for you if you want. But, anyways, this guy is got a conscience, and he's doing good stuff. And what I want him to do, hopefully, I can get someone like him to invest in Mother Earth money. Now, what Mother Earth money is going to do, it's going to be a huge game changer. Because basically, again, we talked about how we all become addicted, right, to certain behavior patterns. I don't think we have time to change the behavior pattern of money, people wanting money to do stuff. I mean, it's just too deeply ingrained in us. So what we need is a money that can only do good, and that's Mother Earth money. Mother Earth money will, once we get using it, and we create banks, and we create crowdfunding sites, people who have Mother Earth money will only, when they use it, they'll only do good with it. And that's the way it's set up to renaturalize all processes. We have a ton of alternative currencies now on the market, Bitcoin being one of them, but believe me, there's lots of other ones. If we had a Mother Earth money, we could take $1 million and turn it into $1 trillion. It's just amazing how much, or $1 billion into $1 trillion. And we could take this money and we could, people would apply to the bank and say, oh, I want to fix this problem. I want to create a free energy system. There's a guy in Brazil, he's got a bike right now that runs on water. He's proven it. I mean, I just showed his video.
There's so much. This is the issue. There are plenty of solutions. They're all being suppressed. They're all being, I mean, we're not in a want of solutions. What we're in a want of is the people who have control of those solutions, allowing them to be implemented. And this is why I'm actually of the same mind with my friend Tom Ackerman, who says there's a line between extinction level event and extermination level event. And I think what we're seeing at Fukushima is an extermination level event. I mean, it is not unintentional that they have been ignoring this for 6 years. They're going to continue. They're forcing people to move back into Fukushima. That's just such an outrage. It's like beyond comprehension. But part of that forcing people into moving back in there, mothers and children to move back there, is to basically batter the rest of us into submission to keep us quiet. It's all a huge, I mean, it's a cultural gaslighting experiment. If they can successfully get these people to move back there without a huge outcry from the world population, they can pretty much do anything. If we're willing to send mothers and children to live back in a highly radioactive contaminated zone without much outcry, pretty much they know they have complete control over people. And this is why I think I'm working. I just sent out an email yesterday with a local organizer here, Community Alliance of Lane County. I want to do something on the sixth anniversary. I guess it's called an anniversary, the sixth year that Fukushima is being ignored, and highlight that particular issue because to me, that's like the most incomprehensible. If somebody would have told us 50 years ago that we would force people to move back into a highly radioactive contaminated zone, just like as in St. Louis, we're forcing families to live there. But imagine on a grander scale, it's just immensely incomprehensible for me. So this is kind of our first call to action, at least it is for me. I think that that's like, if we can get people to actually acknowledge that it matters, maybe
Well, the
that's the
irony
first
of
step.
Japan is incredible. It's the only place on Earth that we know of that's been nuked, that they've admitted to being nuked. I'm sure there's been other smaller nukes that they don't want to admit to in the Middle East and whatnot. Well, we know about depleted uranium, but that's when I started this thing back in the 80s, they were already talking about creating nukes that were smaller and more controllable. And that's what they did with the depleted uranium, with all sorts of other weapons. The fact that they would actually get bombed twice and then still embrace nuclear power. I mean, if that doesn't show how little power we actually have, and the Japanese are so embedded in the money god, it's not blood. I mean, these people are literally like robotic humans. They do what they're told over there, and that's it. And there are some radicals, believe me, but oh wow, that culture scares me. I mean, the way they have been molded, it's terrible. And that whole setup. I mean, the country's a friggin' earthquake zone, and they put in 45, what, 40, 45 nuke plants, and then they tell them that, oh, well, we can never live without them. What do they do after Fukushima? They shut down the whole network of plants, and nothing changes. I
Well, not only that, but the
burn, right?
whole country is being contaminated. They're spreading their radiation everywhere. They're burning it. They're incinerating it. I mean, it's the whole thing is so deep. And you speak about depleted uranium weapons. They're standard fare for the United States now. We sell depleted uranium weapons to most. In fact, many of the weapons that are going to Saudi Arabia will be depleted uranium. I mean, we are carpet bombing the Middle East with nuclear radioactive contamination. Everywhere, Gaza, everywhere is being bombed. So we have big comeuppance to pay for in the karmic train here going on. But part of that is this is again, I really believe that once we start acknowledging this and demanding that it end, and I really believe that we can put pressure on our elected officials to to pull the curb, to hold the reins back a little bit, because it is going, the weight of the monster is going to collapse in on itself. History has shown us this time and time again. When very few people own the money, the weight of their wealth crushes the rest of the civilization. It's coming. It's a matter of time. This is what they're trying to do, is get as much as they can for themselves, because they know. In fact, I believe Trump is intent. I don't believe by this time next year our economy will be in the same place. I think they're going to plan. They love these October surprises. They love to make people suffer at Christmas. So I think that that's kind of their plan. So we have about 5 minutes left, Brian. I just want to let you know that. Yeah, it's gone very, very quickly. So, is there anything else that, you know, your station, makingadifference.tv, so it's not live, it's not active yet.
No, it's a place to go learn. It's a place to learn how to sustain yourself.
So people can still go there right now. Just type in makingadifference.tv.
The news that I have is the news that's always going to be true. It's the authentic truth of how we should be living, about how we're going to fix things. So the problem with alternative news is it's talking about day-to-day events, but the problems have been here for 6,000 years, maybe 12,000 years, right? So the problems really aren't changing. What's going to fix things is solutions that are effective, and that's what I showcase. I might go live at some point, but really it's there as a resource, folks. Go there. You're feeling down. You're feeling sick. Are going to be alternatives for healing, alternatives for how to live properly. I've got connections with the top eco-village developers in the world. There's two huge networks already, IC.org, Global Eco-Village Network. They're on the site. I have a whole page called The Foundation for a Natural and Loving Planet. Is a little spiel there people can read. Most people find it very inspiring. I've just interviewed my first person who's setting up a beautiful new village on 100 acres with a lake, all there, all self-contained. He's got a solar system. I mean, there's some people doing some amazing stuff out there.
I know several people out here in on the West Coast doing the same thing. I think it's a movement, because people are beginning to realize we must get off of the massive grid. The only way we're going to survive as a species is to go small. That's really the issue. And I think for me, the fundamental core issue is self-love. When you take these actions, you are loving yourself and you're loving your children. And you're loving your community, because for me, love is totally the answer. Love is greater than fear, and love is the only answer that's going to really resolve the issue. So the more we love ourselves, the more we express love. I know people get sick of me talking about love, but I think we need to talk about love all the time. If we just talked about love all the time, we could cope with these negative emotions in a lot healthier way.
Yeah. It's the truest energy in the universe. Love is creator. Love is everything. So if we connect to that source, then we will be protected. We will be moved forward. I've survived many attempts in my life. You know, a lot of things have happened to me I don't talk about, because I don't want to scare people away from activism. But I'll tell you, you get things happen. You say, holy cow, was I ever lucky? I got that voice, you know, in the mind, say, watch out. And so it's really neat. I say to everyone, if you want to advance spiritually, get into activism. That's the way to go forward. And that's in the bottom line is spiritual, because it's a spiritual universe, folks. If you haven't figured that out yet, you better do some more.
You know what? We've got 15 seconds left. You've been listening to Brian Porter, makingadifference.tv. Visit his website. Please get active. Put your courage feet on. Take action. Put your courage feet on. You can do it. Lean into it. God bless you. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.